The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Don't worry about it, bud.
Yeah, yeah, they're on.
Hold on. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Welcome to our program. I did have a replay of the Canadian Football League game going behind me, but I had a thought that perhaps I shouldn't because of the...
The ownership rights that you're always screaming about.
Yes, the ownership rights that I'm always screaming. Yeah, you're right. I don't know whether I'm allowed to on a live video feed. I mean, in other words, if it was just something that if we were using parts of it
Phil, just never mind.
Okay. So we will just never mind what I said, folks. Welcome to our show. It's something having to do with our video cast tonight. We are on Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We have backstage passes available for you if you'd like to come and watch our video cast. You're more than welcome to do that. And you can also access almost 5,000 hours of archived radio, some of the greatest radio that you will ever hear. I frankly think it's the greatest radio you'll ever hear in your life. But, you know, there's some people who would rather listen to Gordon McNamee and the, the Mystery Theater or something. But...
We're not playing.
Get off the mic, will you?
We're not playing the Shadow Nose, isn't that?
Yes, we don't. I think that's a good point. We don't play the Shadow Nose, you know.
Yeah, with the shadows on his tiptoe, looking at a bedroom window,
and if the shadow. Hold on for a minute. You know what, guys? Just don't butt in because you're confusing me already. The Shadow, there is absolutely no proof at all of any radio show that I've ever heard, of any commentary that I've ever heard, of anybody saying anything about The Shadow, which if you don't know what The Shadow is, it was not only is it an aspect to one's personality as articulated by Carl Jung, but...
Oh, God, you got to show everyone your erudition.
Well, I mean, The Shadow is...
Well, it's also something that happens when you block light.
Yes, but in this case, we're talking about... this old radio show, and we did have a guest on our program who said that The Shadow was known for peeking in bedroom windows while women undressed.
And that's how he got his superpower.
Uh-huh, yeah, and you believe that, huh?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, he could look in a bedroom window.
He could look in a bedroom window and know what...
What was going to happen? I think anyone could look in a bedroom window and know what's...
You guys are idiots if you believe that, okay? Anyway, welcome to the show. Again, 877-876 is our number. And we have with us this evening just a couple of stories that we want to get to. One of them is Lindsay Lohan. Not that it's heavy news. Believe me when I tell you, folks, we don't think that Lindsay Lohan is a heavy piece of news to report. And we are certainly not an entertainment, quote unquote, an entertainment news show. We're not doing that so you can be up on the latest celebs. But there is something rather bizarre about Lindsay Lohan. When it comes to her life and times, her parents, and the constancy of the trouble that she's in, although it may be just a repeat of a lot of stories that we've seen before.
Well, you know, Robert Downey was someone that got into a lot of trouble, and there have been down through the years, by the way, for people that don't know, I'm Margaret Gray, and I do an awful lot of entertainment reporting.
You do?
And so I've seen a lot of these young people turn their lives into nothing more than it's just one night after the next looking for the next fix. Because you know about that, right?
About what?
When you look for the next fix, you're looking for the next fix of dope. And if your life, and I don't know, I don't want to be sued, but let's just say Lindsay Lohan is out there lifting her skirt for anything that comes along, and she needs a fix of dope, and maybe she puts out for her father.
Can we not... What do you mean, it's you don't know, it's just your opinion?
Yeah, you're going to be slanderizing her and everything.
I'm not slanderizing her. How dare you? I'm a journalist.
Well, don't start talking about her lifting her skirt for her father.
Well, Phil, you just said that the relationship that girl has with her father is dysfunctional.
No, I did not. No, I did not.
Yes? Oh, what a liar.
I did not. I said I think her old man's a screwball. And I will say this, I haven't heard from that guy in a long time, so maybe, just maybe, the father there, that guy, that Michael Lohan, maybe he got the word. Maybe he finally said, you know, I've been up front and center in the life of my daughter. I need to keep my big fat mouth shut and just drop into the background. Because if all you care about is helping your kid, I would think that that's what you want to do. And that guy is the most self-aggrandizing. What I said was this, if you care about your kid, you know,
Yeah, you care about your kid, you're not going to be all slobbering on every on the screen.
Would you let him finish, please?
But I've got it. If you care about your kid...
You're not going to be slobbering.
Will you shut up, man, and let me finish?
What do you mean, slobbering?
All he ever does is slobber on... Slobber about.
What? What he does is, and what he's done, is he, every time she's in trouble or anything, he's always right there in front of a camera talking about this, that, or something else. He looks like a jackass, he sounds like a jackass, and he's doing damage to the girl, at least he was. So keep your big fat mouth shut and let this child, you know, if you want to help her, I would suggest that behind the scenes, without your big mouth going, put a whole bunch of money into some kind of treatment for this kid. Get her the hell out of the life. Get her out of the spotlight. Get her into a hospital if she needs it, or whatever. Good God Almighty. She's become the punchline to so many jokes, you'd think that people would care. The other story that we have, we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Vernon Dozier, and I have been asked by Mr. Hall to let Mr. Dozier handle this, and I will, but there is a very important, I am told, I don't know the specifics, but I'm told, Bud.
Yeah, this is a very important story.
I talked to Mr. Hall earlier, he said he want you, and you let Mr. Dozier handle all of that.
You got David Hall?
You're Mr. Hall on line three. Mr. Hall? Yeah. You bet.
Do I get to talk to him anytime soon while we're on the air?
Hold on, keep your shirt on.
Give me that phone, keep my shirt on.
That's what I was saying. Phil, are you there?
I'm right here. What's with him talking to you, having a private conversation?
That was just a couple of things I wanted him to pick up.
What do you mean, pick up?
He goes to the store for me late at night sometimes, runs some stuff by the house.
Yeah, he needed some brie. Just some brie, some cheeses.
Just some things that I needed, and Bud sometimes will go by one of the markets. There's a high-end market near where you guys are, and I wanted to pick up a few brie's, and I wanted some of those crackers, but I don't know the name of them. The crackers that have the...
Are you talking about those high-end crackers that they have?
Yeah, it's very high-end, and they've got the...
Well, you know what? That's nice, but I'm on the air right now.
I apologize. But you know what I'm talking about?
I think I know the one you talk... It's got the special kind of flaxseed...
That's what I was trying to figure out.
What happened to you?
Yeah, you had almost like an epileptic fit there.
Just kind of my head drank. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's fine, Bud, if you're trying to figure it out. I am, too. I'm trying to find the answer. I'm happy that you're trying to figure it out.
Well, I'll look it up online. I think I know, because I think I've sent Amparo out for it.
Okay, are we all done?
What?
Are we all done talking about getting brie and cheeses and crackers for you?
Well, Phil, when you put it that way, you're giving the audience the impression that all I do is sit at home and eat cheeses and crackers and lick my fingers while I'm with a remote, you know.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
Well, that's the impression you're giving people. They think I'm sitting at home sucking a brie, because brie is a very soft cheese. It's almost like you could suck it clean out of its wrapping. And I'm not saying that hasn't been a temptation. But I am telling you...
All right, hold on for just a second here. We're getting way off the mark. I don't want to talk about brie and the fact you can suck it out of the wrapping. I don't want to talk about any of that stuff. All I want to talk about is what I want to talk about, okay? And that happens to be Vernon Dozier coming on in a few minutes. You asked him to come on.
Yeah, that's right. I want Mr. Dozier on there because I don't want any funny stuff. And I'm sorry, Phil. I just don't want anybody getting any cute ideas about the subject matter that he's going to be talking about.
Well, what is it?
I would really rather not say.
Well, David, I'm the host of the show, so I'm going to ask you to tell me.
Phil, why can't you trust his judgment?
Why can't you trust my judgment?
Because I don't trust your judgment. Because I.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. But I don't. I don't trust your judgment. I don't think you're sitting at home on your fat ass sucking brie and cheeses and crackers and, you know.
Sucking brie. You don't suck a cracker. You can suck down you can suck brie down.
You got to watch what you're saying, David. Because,
Why?
Well, brie is technically the name of a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, will you? Can we drop the subject, please?
I wanted you to know Vernon Dozier's coming on to talk about that.
I'm going to find out what he's talking about before he comes on the air.
Wait a minute, Phil.
All right, we're going to be right back. We'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Please get Mr. Dozier on the line. He is a local football coach, but he also is going to be talking with us about a large sports story. That's all I've been told, and they didn't want me to know what it was about because they didn't want any, quote, funny stuff. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. And I don't know the name of the cracker, Margaret. I'm sorry.
Well, it's got to be on... Let me see.
I know. And I don't want to take up a lot of time.
All right. I'll do it on my own time, then. Can I take off this football game?
Get that off of there, will you?
Yeah, it looks pretty good, though.
I don't care, man. I don't want the Canadian Football League busted on me for using images of their football game, you know, while I'm trying to, you know, we're doing our radio show, okay? So that's a protected broadcast, a copyright, et cetera, et cetera. Although they probably wouldn't mind because I'm not exactly showing the game. It's me in front of them. To that end, let's, what?
Well, what are you doing?
I'm going to talk to my guest.
So the high-end cracker that, okay. Yeah, I...
Mr. Hall.
Hey, Vernon, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Phil, but I got to tell you, if this turns into another one of these...
Hold on for just a minute. Yeah, David?
Well, what's going on with the high-end cracker? I know that Mr. Dozier, are you there? That'll be the second time I'm sad. All right, I'm sorry, but I want to know, what are you doing with the cracker?
What cracker, man? That's not my job to look up a cracker for her.
It was a high-end cracker that I wanted so that Bud would... You know, Phil, if you want me to call back...
No. Goodbye, David.
Wait a second. Don't get tough with me. I'm just...
All right, 877-876-7445. Get out of here with the crackers.
Well, Phil...
Get out of here with you too, bud. Get out of here.
Just try to find out what high-end cracker it is.
Great. Find out what high-end cracker it is on another computer in another room.
I have never...
Fine. Go and get your... Look at this. This is what I'm talking about, man.
I told you, man... When she comes on the show, she wants to talk about what she wants to talk about. High-end cracker and cheese, breeze and different cheese.
Okay, Vernon, it's all clear. How are you tonight, sir?
Well, I'm doing good. Yeah, I apologize, but I can't waste a whole lot of time tonight.
I understand that. I wanted to ask you about this story that David was taking great pains not to alert me to the content of because he was worried about... what we might do with it. Can you enlighten me?
I certainly can, Phil, and I do understand David's concern. It is a story that technically a sexual assault, but unfortunately, Phil, it's the kind of sexual assault that some people might think is a humorous, and I can tell you, let me just get into the story here. It was a man, an Alabama football fan, and there had been a LSU-Alabama game, I believe. This might have taken place last January. Yeah, the incident took place last January after Alabama defeated LSU at the Superdome. They claimed the Bowl Coalition Series Championship.
That would be the BCS.
That is correct, Bowl Coalition Series. Now... The man pled guilty to two counts of obscenity and for sexual battery, so he's been given 10 years in prison. And I just wanted to make sure that... I wanted to make sure it was tastefully done, and I had talked to David Hall earlier. I'd called up, and I would, as you know, I've been in discussions with him about perhaps doing some kind of a high school sports segment.
I'd heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, and so I called him up to see what progress we were making there, and he said... Will you run a little interference for me on this? So I did.
Well, I got to tell you something. I'm a broadcaster of many decades. I mean, I'm an experienced broadcaster. I know what can go on the air and what can't go on the air.
Believe me, Phil, I didn't mean anything against you, and I understand. And I said that person. I said that to Mr. Hall. He said, you know, Phil does a humor show, and he said he may.
I don't find anything funny about sexual battery.
I didn't think that you would, and for people that have been through this. There's nothing funny about it, and I can tell you I just wish I could tell you more.
Well, what are we talking about? This was
what we're talking about here is an incident that took place after the Alabama LSU game at the Superdome. It was the BCS championship game. Now there was an Alabama fan and there were an LSU fan, and they were apparently watching this game on TV. One of the fans, the LSU fan, apparently was unconscious. It probably had to do with the alcohol that was consumed. And that's all I want to say. This man, the LSU fan, was unconscious. The Alabama fan is the one that is now going to prison for 2 years. Prison for 2 years. And I have to tell you, I salute the judge.
Well, I would like to know what was done, okay? You say it was sexual battery?
I'm sorry that I'm very sorry that I characterized it that way, because it makes it sound as if the individual who was the recipient somehow, in normal circumstances, in a normal setting, may have welcomed that kind of advance. I can tell you I have...
I'm going to have to look the story up myself then.
I would rather you just let me say it.
Either you say it or I look the story up myself.
Let me tell you, first of all, I don't want to hear any laughter. I'm not thinking you're going to laugh, Phil, but Bud Dickman or the other one, Mr. Leonard.
Yes, sir.
I would rather you not laugh.
No, sir, I will not. I won't laugh.
All right. Because I know something about this.
Okay.
The Alabama fan, and I'm quoting from the news story, rubbed his genitals in the face of the LSU fan. Now, I've turned up my radio extra loud. If I hear any laughter...
I'm not laughing.
Okay, then I can then tell you that I have myself... I think I heard...
Robert...
Okay, did I hear? I thought I heard the sound of someone restraining a laugh.
I didn't. What did you hear?
I heard something like that. Is that?
That could be noise on your phone.
All right. This happened to me after a Super Bowl. I passed out. I'd had too much to drink, and I woke up while it was happening. And it was not just. When I say rub, they were being dragged across my face, and I was stunned. I didn't know what you can well imagine, and I was stunned, and something was being dragged back and forth across my face, and it was then that I realized it wasn't my wife kissing me. At first, it was,
pleasant?
You said that. I didn't.
Well, that's what it's...
All right, yes. Yeah, I heard that.
All right, Robert, get out of here.
I tried the very best.
See, okay, so he left.
You got to understand something, Vernon.
Oh, Mr. Hendry, I said, and this is why I wanted to do this. I didn't want any laughter.
You got to understand something. It's not a story that lends itself necessarily to the seriousness of the crime of sexual assault. Yes, sexual assault is a serious crime. And this guy did get 2 years in prison, folks. We have to let you know. It's a funny prank. If you want to call it that?
See, that's just it. It is not a funny prank.
All right, I apologize. It's not a funny prank.
Well, then, why did you say it was? I awoke, Mr. Hendry, and I had a headache. I'd been drinking that ice house. And if you've ever... Let me tell you something about if you've got doubts about me and how... I was drinking ice house all afternoon. Thank you very much. 7% alcohol beer. Thank you very much. All right? So I think that says an awful lot about what I'm able to take and what I'm not able to take.
I understand that. I'm not saying that you're some kind of a sissy.
All right, so I wake up after I drank probably 2 6-packs of Ice House, and I shared a bottle of schnapps with a friend of mine. I don't know why. I had 2 6-packs of Ice House. I had a bottle. I split a bottle of schnapps. I drank another bottle of schnapps by myself.
Well, my God, you were blind stinking drunk.
I was passed out, yeah.
You were a bottle and a half of schnapps, 2 6-packs by yourself.
Yes.
Hold on, we'll get the rest of this story.
Well, that means I got to sit on this information for a whole break, and I
Well, just, yeah, that's exactly what it means. Hang on. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk here with Mr. Vernon Dozier about this crime that a man was sentenced to 2 years in prison for. It was an obscene and an obscene act and a sexually assaulting or assaultive act, and we'll get to the bottom of Mr. Dozier's experience. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
And they just dragged it back and forth. Oh, are we still on the air? Sorry.
Welcome. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, or online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Vernon Dozier has joined us. He is a football coach. We're reading the story, which I just now have pulled up. And there's a bit of a controversy, and I've got David G. Hall, who's also on the line from his home in South Pasadena. David is our vice president of syndication. What's the problem, David?
Well, Phil, the problem is simply that I asked Mr. Dozier to come on the program and to address this particular topic because I did not want it addressed in a juvenile fashion. The fact that an individual has just been given 2 years in prison, and an Alabama football fan has been given 2 years in prison by dragging his genitals over some guy's face.
Well, one of the things, if you'll hold on, one of the things is not so much, it was the fact that he videoed it and he put it on YouTube.
Well, yeah, and it went viral, and it humiliated the individual. Now, I've noticed that I was listening, you were giving him an argument.
Yeah, and I'm going to give him an argument, and you got no business coming on here and commenting on the content of my show. You're a salesman, okay?
I understand that, Phyllis. No need to try to publicly excoriate me. I'm just...
It's necessary because you're coming on here and telling me what to do with my show.
I'm just saying what the advertisers are going to accept, and...
I don't need you doing it on the air. We can talk about it later. Do you understand?
So you're going to come on the air here, and you're going to talk about a guy dropping his nothing small.
Okay, get out of here.
Wait a minute.
Vernon, so, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't think we need to have David in on this conversation. So go ahead and continue. It is the Alabama fan, and I have the story here. Alabama football fan got a dressing down and 2 years in prison for obscenity in a viral video with an unconscious LSU fan after last year's championship game. Go ahead.
Well, that's right, Phil, I understand what you're talking about. I'm not trying to tell you what to do with your show either. It just Mr. Hall wanted me to come on and try to give this to give you some information on this, because I had this done when I was at a Super Bowl party, and I think I've been very clear with you that I had a lot to drink and I had passed out, the same thing as this LSU fan. When I woke up, it wasn't just a matter of this person, you know, rubbing the so-called, rubbing it, but this guy was...
Did you know this person?
Yes, I did, and he was the husband of one of my ex-wives. I've been married three times. And
this was your ex-wife's husband?
Yeah. The reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is because he did this knowing that I really couldn't retaliate, because I had a ownership stake in a company that my wife was the principal stockholder in, and that I still had the ownership stake in, and that I was making a very good income from.
But you were divorced.
We were divorced, and part of our divorce agreement was that I would be a part of, retain my ownership stake in the company, yeah.
That your wife was a majority stockholder in?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And so, to keep things right at the office, so to speak.
Well, okay. Keep in mind, this was not my full time job. My job is as a football coach for a high school, but I had this large portion of shares that I held with this company. Yeah.
And so, in other words, to keep your keep that viable, you couldn't do anything about her husband rubbing his
Yeah, I mean, I woke up and I saw, the first thing was I saw something being dragged across my face, and I realized that it was what it was, and I saw this guy's, you know, and I got up so fast that apparently I rammed my head right into them, and so this guy's in pain, and I look down, and it's Randy, who is my ex-wife, Joy, it's her husband. And
were you married at the time?
No, I was not. This is just before I married my present wife. And so I look up, and this guy's holding on to them, and he's ow, 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 and because I pushed, you know, I gotten up real fast, because as soon as I recognized that someone's rear end was...
I understand.
And so, you know, and he's holding on to them, and Joy is sitting there laughing. And I had no choice but to react violently, and I did. The judge in that case wound up fining me and giving me 90 days in the county lockup, which at that time was in Orange County, Florida. So I, you know, I never really saw justice.
Now, hold on, I just want to ask you a question. This guy is doing this to you. You get up, and what did you do to him?
Well, I kicked him.
You kicked him?
Yeah, I kicked him several times.
And you got jail?
I got jail, yeah. And that's why I'm saying my hat's off to the judge in this case, where some guy drags it across a guy's face, and he gets 2 years in jail. I say that's my hat's off to him.
Mr. Hall's back.
Oh, my God, with this guy, Hall. Yes, David, what's wrong?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to interfere or anything, but I wanted you to hear this part of the story where he kicks this guy because the guy had dragged it across his face, and they gave him jail, but they didn't give the guy that dragged it across his face, didn't give him anything. In this particular case, they did give a guy jail, and I wanted that to be a very specific and a very... I wanted that information to come out, because I think that what you're talking about is a progression of justice, all right? Look, Phil, we've all been involved in these pranks. I've done this kind of thing.
You're saying you've done this?
Yes, sir, I did it. I'm not proud of it.
Well, no, I want to be clear. Are you one of the people that actually you pulled it out and dragged it?
Yes, sir, I did. I did it in high school. I did it again in college.
Why?
For the very same reasons these people. It is a way of dominating. It's a way of making a statement. Now, we didn't have YouTube the way they have it today. So you take photographs of it.
And I'm supposed to sit here and say what to that?
I'm saying that I now realize I was wrong and that they're giving guys jail is a good thing.
Do you think you deserve jail?
Not now, I don't know. What do you think? There's a statute of limitations on something like this.
But do you think you should have had jail back then?
Well, I don't like the way this is going.
I'll tell you something, Mr. Hall. If you say that you're an individual that pulled your shorts down and while a guy was asleep, you started dragging it across his face, and you are now saying, oh, you're on the other side of that. You encourage judges to give people jail time, but you don't think you are liable for jail time. I would say that you've had the best of both worlds, you know?
What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean by the best of both worlds. See, that's insulting to me.
Why?
Well, because he thinks I'm getting my... What, do you think I'm getting my cookies?
I didn't say getting your cookies.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on for just a minute. What do you mean by the statement that he has the best of both worlds?
He gets to take it out and... You're saying that because as a young person and I'd had too much to drink, and I did what we, in those days, we used to, you know, in those days we used to call it, that was called a flat tire. Nowadays a flat tire is something different, but in those days I was... So I flat-tired a guy, and you're saying that that was fun, and now it's fun for me to see guys get jailed? Is that what you're saying?
Essentially, yeah. Are you going to deny it?
I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it, but I'm not going to say...
All right, you know something? You are further indicting yourself with every freaking word out of your big fat mouth, David.
How's that?
How is that? I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it, but by the same token...
Well, when you got a guy who's been mouthing off to you for the entire 2 days that he is now dating your girlfriend, and he's saying in the loudest possible voice at a party the stuff that they do together sexually, and that ass has the stupidity to pass out drunk in your house. You better believe I had a good time pulling a flat tire on that guy. Not only a flat tire, but a top down. I mean, we did an unpaved road on him. We did a lot of stuff. And
I don't know these terms.
Well, I mean, unpaved.
I don't know these terms, and I don't want to know. All right?
I happen to know what an unpaved road is, and I can tell you, if that's what you did, you belong in a prison cell, okay? Are you kidding? Look at the unpaved road that we...
I don't want to continue the discussion of anything that I don't have any definitions for, and I don't want you guys talking about. All I know is that we started out saying that a guy's getting prison time for according to the news story, rubbing his genitals on the LSU fan. He got 2 years in prison. Now I come to find out that you, Mr. Dozier, were the victim of this. You, Mr. Hall, have perpetrated this kind of crime. And the two of you are sitting there trying to justify yourselves.
When you say justify, are you kidding me? Of course I'm trying to justify myself. I'm a victim. I was sexually assaulted. Do you understand that? And you want to admit that? I want to admit what? You want to admit that someone used you like a woman. All right.
Okay, hold on. Hold on to everything.
Well, I mean, that's what he's saying.
No, that's not what he's saying. Everybody hold on.
That's exactly what he's saying, Phil. He's saying that...
No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that he was assaulted. And the judge agrees. The judge would agree. The judge in this case said it's a sexual assault. This guy got 2 years. Do you understand? 2 years in prison. 2 years in prison.
That's because it went viral on YouTube.
No, it's not because it went viral. Maybe, but the 2 counts of obscenity for rubbing his genitals on an LSU fan, prosecutors dropped a charge of sexual battery, which was punishable by up to 10 years in prison. So it was 2 counts of obscenity. It had nothing to do with YouTube.
Yeah, but did you see they dropped the charge of sexual battery?
They did drop the charge of sexual battery, which would mean up to 10 years. But that was a plea bargain. You understand? A plea bargain. And
why did they make that plea bargain?
They wanted a guilty plea from this guy. They wanted this guy to do some jail time. He could have gotten 10 years. They said, tell you what we'll do is we'll knock it down to 2 if you plead guilty to a lesser charge of obscenity. But the fact of the matter is they were ready to charge him with this sexual battery.
Well, hold on for a minute, because you see, you think you're helping, but you're not, Mr. Hendry. What you're saying is he was not charged with sexual battery. And for a victim of that crime like me to wake up and see it being dragged over your... Yeah, you could say it. It's getting dragged across your nose. Exactly. It's across my nose, my eyes, and I get up and I do what's instinctive, and I kick the guy about 6 times in the chest and the stomach, and I go to prison. Now you're telling me that I'm worse because I kicked this guy in the stomach and the chest hard enough and long enough so he'd pass out. And I go to jail. Meanwhile, this guy is using my face as some kind of a scratching post for it.
All right, okay. I don't want to hear anymore. I got to take a break. Hold on.
I think, Phil, you need it.
We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back here with Vernon Dozier, David G. Hall, and your phone calls when we come right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You know an actor by the name of Olivier Martinez. This guy was in a film with Diane Lane called, what the hell, I can't remember.
Oh, it was a wonderful part, though.
Yeah, it was a movie about a guy, it was a movie about a woman that cheats on her husband with a very handsome and sexy young guy, played by Olivier Martinez. In fact, it was Richard Gere plays the husband of Diane Lane, and she goes out and has sex in all kinds of places with this actor, well, not with this actor, with the character played by this man, Olivia Martinez. And it's like in a bathroom and on a floor.
Well, Phil, it's a lot more romantic than that. But you're right. There was one sex scene in a public toilet.
Yeah. And in any event, It's a great film. It's a great film, and you should see it. I wish I could remember the name of it, but look it up. It's a fantastic part for Diane Lane and all everybody in it, and it really wrenches your guts out. It has a very unusual twist in the plot, which I think you'll enjoy. The reason why I'm mentioning this is this guy, Olivier Martinez, and Halle Berry hang out together, and there was some kind of a fist fight on Thanksgiving with some other actor who doesn't look all that good after this fight with this guy, Martinez, and we will update you on this coming up next hour. Vernon Dozier is with us. We're going to perhaps get another phone call on the air here with one of you good people. Vernon, you know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, you know, I saw that story, and I got to tell you, I think that's rubbing it in pretty good, you know. And when you talk about what I've been through, and we're talking about this LSU fan having another guy's you know what rubbed in his face, and then that guy goes to prison. I had it rubbed in my face, and I went to jail for 90 days.
Well, you assaulted the man that did it.
Oh, well, isn't that too bad? Isn't that too bad, you know?
Well, Vernon, I understand your anger, but kicking a man till he's unconscious, as opposed to that man rubbing his, shall we say, his family, the family honor in your face, isn't that a good word?
Okay, that's fine, you know.
Whatever.
Well, it's better than you two talking about the genitals and I don't know. But let's say you're laying there, you're passed out drunk, and he pulls his shorts down and he rubs his family's business all over your face.
Okay, Margaret, we get it, all right?
All right. So, and then you get up and you kick this man till he's unconscious. Is that what you did?
That's what I was hoping to do, and that's what I imagined I was doing. He never really did pass out. He got up and laughed at me.
Was he unconscious or not?
No, he was never unconscious. He was laughing the whole time. So that, you understand what I'm saying?
Then why did you say you kicked him till he passed out?
That's what I wanted to have happen. That's what I fantasized. The fact is, he got up and started laughing at me.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, you put up with a lot there.
Phil, that is not responsible of you to say.
I don't care. He put up with a lot there. But here's the point.
What is the point? I came on here to talk.
We're talking about this LSU guy, right? The Alabama guy?
Yeah.
Okay. The point is that this was an outrageous thing. It was sexual battery.
That's exactly what it was. And this judge charged the guy with obscenity, and he's going to jail. He's going to jail for 2 years. I go to jail for 90 days because I'm kicking some guy, and it has no effect on him.
It had no effect on him?
Yeah. I mean, it's embarrassing. I kicked and kicked and kicked, and he just laid there looking at me going, ha, 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 doesn't hurt.
What in the world?
I'm telling you, it was a nightmare. Oh, boy.
All right, hold the line here. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Roy in Massachusetts. Roy, how you doing? You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hello, Phil. It's Roy Biskey here. I'm very happy to be on your program tonight. I wanted to talk to the school teacher who is on your program. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I understand that what you're discussing here is a little disgusting, and I'm with Phil, and I think one or two of the other people on the panel said that this is a very sensitive topic. It is a very sensitive topic, but it has a very comic aspect to it. So let me just get to the seriousness here of this. From what I understand, you said that you got up and you just told Mr. Hendry you assaulted this man.
Yes, I did. I got up and I kicked him,
And you said now that it had no effect. He was laughing.
That is correct, yeah.
And do you remember the woman that he was with?
Yeah, the woman, the man that I kicked?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was a lady by the name of Joy Begley. She was my ex-wife, and she was with this guy that was her current wife. I mean, excuse me, was her current husband.
And what was his name?
His first name was Randy.
Okay, I believe that that man is my brother.
Your brother. His last name was Begley.
That is correct, yeah. I mean, my last name is Biskey because we had two different fathers, but we had the same mother.
And
so, sir, you're saying Randy Begley was your brother?
Yes, I'm saying my half brother. Yes, sir.
Your half brother?
Yes, sir.
Well, that explains a lot.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you. He's my half brother, and if ever there was a family,
that explains a lot. You got a half brother, and the kind of redneck.
Well, that's what I was going to say. From what we come from our background, the people we come from, it doesn't surprise me at all. He did that a lot while we were growing up. He did it to my father.
He did it to your father?
Your father.
Oh, yeah. It was what we did for, and it was funny to us. And my father did it back to us. So, you know.
All right, thanks very much for everybody. I got to go. I can't deal with this.
What do you mean you can't deal with it?
Henry, we're getting to some very good places here with...
I can't deal with this. I can't talk about it. I'm telling you, I can't do it, man.
Well, what did you do? You hung up on everyone.
Yes, I hung up on everyone. I don't want to talk about this anymore. He did it to my father. My father did it to me. I come from a family. That happens to be my brother. We'll be back next hour. World famous Phil Henry Show. God!
Well, you've hung up. Now, what are you going to do?
Don't worry about it, okay?
Well, this is David G. Hall, and you've left me dangling. There's been a lot dangling tonight, but now you've left me dead.
Thank you.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Margaret?
Well, you're reaching down. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're reaching down and grabbing the crotch of your pants.
You're grabbing a crotch?
The pants I'm wearing are feeling a little tight.
Gotta get one of the fit.
These fit, man. These fit. They almost fit.
Those are the 34-inch pants. Obviously, they don't, because you've been reaching down and pulling on your...
Yeah, you're pulling on a family project. And...
All right, watch it. I happen to be a very proud and happy man, that these are pants I never thought I'd get into again as long as I lived. And when I began this diet back in March, and I pulled these 34-inch jeans off the shelf, I remember thinking, who bought these, you know?
You did, thinking you were going to get into them when you were 300 pounds. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your big three... Well, I shouldn't say, you know, but Phil, your 300-pound rear end being squeezed into those... Who did you think you were kidding?
Wait a second. I don't even remember... Why would I buy 34-inch jeans? Okay?
Wishful thinking that you can squeeze your butt in there.
A lot of guys will do that. You know, Mr. Henry, a lot of guys will say, hey... I'm going to get a 34-inch jean. Well, you 300 pounds. Oh, well, I can squeeze my ass in there and wear my shirt out.
Yeah, they do that. They put on the big Guayaberas.
Oh, a guy who's 300 pounds putting on a pair of jeans with a 34-inch waist, you wouldn't be able to zip them up.
Yeah, you don't have to zip them up on account of the Guayabera.
Guayabera. You mean a Guayabera? In other words, a big-ass shirt that's hanging out.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not that nuts. I'm not that weird. No. Thank you very much. No, I wear pants that fit, and these pants fit, okay?
Well, they may fit. Are they fitting around the waist?
Yes, they fit around the... I'll get up and I'll show them to my video audience, as a matter of fact. Make sure my fly isn't down. These are my 34-inch jeans. I look like I'm kind of squeezing into them, okay, you know?
Yeah, it looks like, though, you're squeezing it.
Yeah, are you sure? But I noticed your voice is getting higher.
Well, that's...
What do you mean my voice is getting higher? All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, we are going to get into a couple of stories here. And what are you talking about? What, Margaret?
Well, you can get Art Griego on the phone because he has that constrictor that he was working on.
The constrictor that he was working on?
Yeah, Art Griego had a nut.
Don't say it.
I get him. Oh, I know what you're saying. The constrictor? Are you trying to tell me that stupid-ass device that he was working on works?
No, he did it. It works. It works for African-American men that want to sound white when they are booking a hotel room.
It works for African-American men. And what is the purpose of that?
So they were able to get a hotel room. A lot of times the hotels, you hear a black voice is sold out.
In this day and age?
Yeah, a little bit sometimes still happens this day and age.
Are you going to demonstrate it, Robert?
Yeah, I can demonstrate it. Art can do it. He's not black, but...
Get him on the phone. That's the dumbest thing. That's the weirdest thing. Are you putting me on?
Well, it was something that was needed perhaps a few more. I don't know if it's still needed, Robert.
Yeah, occasionally you find a hotel that doesn't want to book a hotel to you because you sound black.
So they'll say what?
We're sold out.
And how do you know they're lying?
Because then you have a white friend of yours call back and say, yeah, I'd like to get a room. Oh, yeah, sure, we got a room.
You're kidding.
No.
What are the names of the hotels?
Don't say it.
I would rather not because...
Well, come on, man.
Well, I mean, it happened to me one time at Hilton in Miami. And it happened another time at a Hyatt. This is down south.
Down south?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to... unless we can verify this. Although I don't doubt that this kind of discrimination goes on. I don't know whether... I don't like the idea of naming names.
Well, you just said go ahead and say it when I said don't say it, so...
Yeah, you did. You said it, and she said don't say it.
All right, okay, fine. I'm sorry. We'll double-check that. I mean, I'm not saying that you're not telling the truth, Robert, but I'm sure you understand.
Well, I mean, not really, because I'm not lying. It happened to me.
All right, well, an NYPD officer's...
So you're just going to blow by it?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's blowing by it. You're nervous, aren't you?
Hey, wait a second, man. I mean, I'm not saying that Robert is wrong, but what if he... I'm not saying that this doesn't happen, but what if you got the name of the hotel wrong for whatever reason? Okay, that's all I'm saying. I'm sure it happens. Believe me when I tell you, but whether or not he got the hotel names right, I don't know, you know.
Well, I think I did.
Oh, well, think I did ain't good enough. NYPD officer's generosity goes viral on Facebook. That's a beautiful story there. And this story that I was mentioning, which is the story of Halle Berry and Gabriel Aubrey, and they reach a truce over his violent Thanksgiving tussle with the actress's fiancé, Olivier Martinez. Now, I mentioned to you this story last hour. Halle Berry and Gabriel Aubrey have reached a truce over the violent Turkey Day tussle at the Oscar winner's mansion. The parties have reached an amicable agreement. There will be no further statements regarding the matter, Berry lawyer Blair Burke told the Daily News. Did I ever tell you that I didn't have dinner. I was at a dinner with Blair Burke.
I think you said something about that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very interesting dinner. And it was a dinner with a lot of Hollywood conservatives. And the only one that was a liberal there was Blair Burke. And everybody else at the table was in show business. They were either management people. There were some actors there. And some managers there, and then there was this, other smattering of people. But Ms. Burke was there, and she was the lone liberal. And I'll never forget, because she's one hell of a lawyer. She's the one that handled the what's the guy?
What?
Who's the guy that ran his ass down PCH?
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, she handled the Mel Gibson thing. So anyway... This is around 2000, I'll tell you exactly when it was. It was around 2007. It's about a full year and a half before the presidential election of 2008. And everybody is sitting there talking about how jacked up the Democrats are and how jacked up the liberals are, this, that. And finally, Ms. Burke, she says, well, and they finally kind of get around to her and they zero in on her because she's the one liberal at the table. And she says, well, I like this guy Obama. And boy, did she take, everybody was giving her crap. What do you mean, Obama? This guy is nowhere.
Oh, my boy, she made them look like a stable of ass.
A full stable, a stable of ass.
What's that?
You don't know that you stable ass.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
You filthy.
Hey, come on.
Ass as in donkey.
All right, go ahead.
So in any event, I bet you she made them look stupid. No, you go ahead. You're the one with the story.
Yeah, you're the one with the story, Mr. Henry.
Oh, sorry. So she said, that's guy Obama. I like this guy Obama. And everybody was, oh, ha, 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 ha. Who the hell is Obama? And I was one of them. I said, who the hell is Obama? Who, I didn't say that to her, but I mean, I remember remarking at one point, this guy Obama's an unknown factor. I don't think he's going to win because he's black and because he's very, very young. I thought those two things right there would absolutely, totally just nail him to the ground, man. There's no way this cat was going to win, you know? And I forgot that we live in America, that all kinds of things are possible. I mean, it's a, in a lot of ways, it's a great story. But she had called that, and later on, after obviously this dinner and the year and a half passes, she was right. You know,
well, I think a lot of people were right about Obama.
Maybe. Maybe a lot of people were right. Maybe a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon late. Maybe a lot of people were wrong and then got right. Who knows? Let's face it, man. Even in his own party, as the days and the weeks and the months progressed, nobody believed in Obama in the Democratic Party. They didn't think he was going to win over there. He had all kinds of people who were tugging on him and trying to slow him down. But so now I see this name coming up again, this Blair Burke. She's a hell of a lawyer. I'll tell you, you can do worse. Or you can't do worse than her, I don't think. You can't do better. What am I trying to say?
You can do worse. God, you just butchered her reputation.
I didn't even mean to. You can do much worse than, that's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, the parties have reached an amicable agreement. She said the ceasefire statement was joined by Aubrey's criminal lawyer, Sean Hawley. Both sides were in Los Angeles courtroom Thursday to discuss the settlement with the family court judge.
Get to the good part.
I'll get to the good part, okay?
Well, Phil, I mean, you're getting...
What is it with you?
Yeah, you drink all this other stuff nobody care about.
Yeah, get together, Paul. What was the fight about?
Well, easy, man. Okay. I mean, okay. It's not clear if authorities will pursue a criminal case against Aubrey. He was taken into custody Thanksgiving morning on suspicion of misdemeanor battery after a fight with Barry's fiancée, Olivier Martinez. For those of you who are watching... There's Gabriel Aubrey. That's what he looked like after getting into a fight with this guy here on the left. Now, this guy on the left may look pretty bad today too, but you'll notice there's no photograph of him. And why? Because this is the guy that got booked into he was arrested and booked into custody. He was taken into custody on suspicion of misdemeanor battery after this fight with Mr. Olivier Martinez. Now, let me just get to the rest of this. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back. Do you have Art Griego on the phone?
Yeah, I got Mr. Griego. He's going to talk about the constrictor and everything like that.
You want me to use this thing now?
Well, you can't use it. He's on the phone, but...
He said he demonstrated on...
He demonstrated on what?
On someone.
No. He can demonstrate it on himself. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Art Griego ahead with the so-called constrictor, which we got into a discussion of this because my jeans, according to Margaret, are too tight. What are you getting all like turned on?
Oh, don't flat. Oh, you are disgusting.
Prove it. All right. Anyway, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You are vile beyond any word that. Yes, I am turned on. God, if you will stop grabbing at your...
Never mind. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Art Griego is with us from the Santa Monica Airport this evening, and I think you guys are doing some maintenance out there. That's what it sounds like. Art, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very well. You're right, we are. We're just replacing some hydraulics here on one of the aircraft that we've got here, which is my Piper, and other than that, it's a quiet evening here.
And tell me, because we wanted you on the show, Margaret was giving me a hard time here about the pants I'm wearing. I've lost a lot of weight. I have on a pair of 34-inch jeans. Probably ought to be wearing 36. But the point is, these jeans fit me fine.
I listened to a little bit of that, Margaret. Can I talk to Margaret?
Go ahead, Margaret.
Yes, sir.
Are you saying he's reaching down and freeing up his, I don't know what word you want to use.
Call it the family jewels.
No. His, I don't know, package, I guess.
Oh, please.
Well, all right, look. Are you saying that he's having to reach down and free it up, or is he just giving it air?
I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm saying, all right, never mind.
What does that mean?
Well, you're a guy, and you're asking me that?
Yeah, no kidding. You don't even know.
Will you shut up, bud, before I clock you and you look like this Gabriel Aubrey guy? All right, what is the constrictor?
The constrictor is something that I developed. I talked to Robert about this. It is a device that you put around your genitals if you're an African American. I did good sales with this among black men in the early 2000s. We don't sell as many now because the problem is not as prevalent.
I'm talking about booking a hotel room.
Booking a hotel room. Tell me how this, I don't understand.
Well, what you do, if you're an African-American man, you buy the constrictor, the Art Griego constrictor, you affix it to that part of your body. If you want to sound Anglo in booking a hotel room so you don't run afoul of anyone that may be prejudiced, you tighten the constrictor, and we have different levels on there, the lowest being African-American, the highest is Northern European. You want to set it to, you want to give it a setting somewhere in the Caucasian range. And
what I don't understand this at all. What are you?
Are you listening to him or not?
You're saying, in other words, that the tighter you squeeze it, the higher your voice that gets up into white guy range.
In essence, yeah. Let me bring on, I'll tell you what I'll do is, this is a gentleman by the name of Cat Sten, right, sir?
That is correct, yeah.
And Kat does a radio show in Milwaukee, Phil, on Wang Radio.
Oh, yeah. Are you Blue Cat?
Yes, this is Blue Cat, Phil. How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah.
And Blue Cat has put this on. I didn't put it on him. You have it now on you?
That's correct. I've got this constrictor on. I went and I said, I want to say to my fans, by the way, here in Los Angeles and across the country, the Blue Cat Hour is on Wang Radio, and I'm here with my good friend Art Griego, and I'm here with my good friend Phil Hendry, but I'm demonstrating this Art Griego constrictor.
Let me ask you something, Cat. Have you ever had a problem getting into a hotel?
I have not had that problem in many, many years. No, I have not. But you have to understand that I've got a fair amount of celebrity. People know who I am, especially in Milwaukee and upper Midwest, places like that.
I understand that. So, but in making any hotel reservation?
I have not had that problem. I do not make these reservations myself. I generally have an employment secretary or someone like that. But I understand what the gentleman's talking about. I think you have to be black. You have to be a black man to understand that there are times when, back in the old days, and when I say old days, I mean as recently as 10, 15 years ago, you call up, try to get yourself a hotel room, and you're going to hear someone say, well, sorry, it was sold out, just like a young man Robert was saying. And next thing you know, you have one of your white employees or a white friend of yours called up, and the next thing you know, you've got a hotel room.
Yeah. And so, Phil, that's why I developed the constrictor. Now, you've got that on right now.
I have it on right now, yeah.
Now, dial it up to, and if you, as you're dialing it up, Kat, dial it up and keep talking.
I understand.
So that Phil can hear the,
this is Blue Cat, and I'm talking right now, and that's about...
Okay, stop it right there.
Okay.
And just, like, order a hotel room as if you're,
All right, hi, this is Blue Cat, and I want to order a hotel room. The reservation's available.
Are you kidding me?
No, I swear, Phil, this is exactly how I sound as you tighten your, testicles.
So, in other words, the tighter this thing around the guy's testicles, the more of a white guy he sounds.
That's basically it, yeah. Yeah, go ahead and tighten it up a little bit more.
Okay, I'm tightening it up to, this is
level two, and this, you know, sound Asian, and...
Okay, all right, I don't know whether you guys are joking.
No, we're not joking about anything.
No, they're not. I saw this thing demonstrated one time on me. And they tied it all the way up. I sounded Asian. I started sounding Chinese. And finally got a very highest level, the very, very highest level, and you start to sound Polynesian, you know.
Polynesian. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know what it means.
Margaret, it takes you out of the very, the lower decibel of voices are African-American. You get high in the mid-range. You're talking white guy. Then you get up the highest. Go ahead and
every day I can. Now, this is not what I would call Indian. And it hurts. I mean,
all right, I'll loosen it up. It's hurting you.
Yeah, it really hurts. Ow, 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 ow. Ow.
Here, just use your screw here.
Don't put your hand in my...
Don't be sticking your hand down there.
I'm not sticking my handy. Just loosen that screw there.
Ow, ow. Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, just,
okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. There was something wrong. You either have to put some WD-40 on that. Not the, you got to put some 3-in-1 on that.
Yeah, I do. I got to oil the one. There's one screw that is actually what you use, Phil, in terms of the Betrix.
Let me just ask you something. Because what I heard him do is he went from having his normal voice to a white guy voice, which is what you use, Cat, to reserve hotels?
No, I didn't say I would. I mean, again, you asked for the demonstration.
Phil, the thing it is, Phil, is we don't really have high demand for this anymore. We used to. But we really don't have a high demand for it anymore. You just don't find the problems. Some men, but a lot of them are not aware of the constrictor.
I think if you still have a problem, if you're a black man in America and you're still having a problem reserving a hotel, getting a hotel reservation, I would highly recommend a constrictor because you tighten that up, and you heard what I sounded like. I sounded like just as white. Man, I tell you, and
what's the point of the whole Asian thing?
I don't know, but at least you don't sound black. You may run into this similar problem.
Yeah, what they don't want to have a Chinese guy. Then you tighten it up too much.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're using a constriction and you tighten it up and now you sound like you're from China, you blew it, man. Like they said in Copland, you blew it. You blew it. You know?
Well, I would never.
You're not going to tighten it up that much. What's up with that anyway?
It's just that's what happens. I mean, if you ever want to sound like, if you want to get in free to a luau, you tighten it all the way up and you sound like you're from Maui.
All right, you mean Polynesian?
Yeah, that's what I meant. You know, like you're one of, like you're on the council, the tribal council for to keep the volcano. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
All right, hold on. World famous Phil Hendry show will be right back.
Try it one more time, are you? I'd like to get a room for two for Wednesday at the Holiday Inn.
Phil Hendry.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't care. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we enjoy having you join us over at our website, philhendryshow.com, with a backstage pass. With a BSP, among other things, you get to watch our video cast every night, which we have for you right now. As a matter of fact, we stream our show live on video. We also have a podcast of each day's show delivered to your pod, to your whatever pod you're, you know, podding in, man.
Yeah, whatever pod, like whatever seed pod.
Yeah, the seed pod, like Invasion of the Snatcher, you know.
It's not Invasion of the Snatcher. Would you please tell them?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yes.
That's not my understanding, but...
That's great, but quit trying to sound so smart when you're not. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I heard it was Invasion of a Snatcher.
Yeah.
Invasion of a Snatcher. Every time you guys get something wrong, you leave a word off, you leave a participle off.
What's a participle?
Like an the, something like that. All right, now.
Participle?
Yes, participle. Join us at philhendryshow.com. You get the backstage pass, get over 4,500 hours of great audio, great radio shows. We have our daily video cast image. We have our archives of our video cast. We have a number of other different bits under miscellany, including television pilots, television shows we've been on, interviews that we've had. And now, newly arrived to the Phil Hendry Show website, something that you're going to love, Hendroids, man. If you go to our Funhouse, we have a Funhouse. It's under the Classic Phil tab. Go down to Funhouse, and you'll see Hendroids, which is a takeoff on Asteroids instead of blowing up asteroids.
Yeah, it's pretty bitching. I was playing it earlier.
Yeah, you're blowing up my head. And what happens, Robert, when the spaceship collides with my head?
Then a guy yells out, ah, my ass.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's what happens. It's a lot of fun. It's hysterically funny. It's Hendroids there on our website. And also there's there's a clip of you.
Yes, and I don't appreciate. It was me singing Downtown, and it was for the Ted Bell restaurant, but instead of me, they had you in a beard and a wig. I think that's so inflammatory. So inflammatory.
Margaret, would you get a sense of humor?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, a sense of humor. So in other words, I'm supposed to be happy seeing myself with a beard.
Could be worse. You'd have a penis.
You dirty...
Hey!
How dare...
Watch it.
Apologize.
I'm sorry.
All right, Margaret.
I didn't touch you.
All right, you guys are kind of skitterish. All right, welcome back here on the radio show. Now,
you tell people what you said.
I'm going to tell them, man. Don't worry about it. I was going to talk about this bull crap having to do. There's a bunch of stuff. All I said was, because I said it last night, Jack in the Box is just... Jack in the Box is pushing it way, way too much with me, man. They're pushing it way, way too much with me.
In what way?
With that Jack. With the commercials, is what I'm trying to say. The commercials with that caricature of Jack, with the round head and the pointed nose, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, and you realize those are probably very successful.
They're probably very successful. I got to imagine that they are successful because you would not stick with the same ad campaign over and over and over and over again. I won't mention because I believe they're sponsors of ours.
Well, you know, Jack in the Box may be a sponsor.
I doubt it. And if they are a sponsor, they probably already know this. But anytime you overuse, I mean, to the ends of the earth, an advertising... Now, I can understand if you don't have a lot of money and you've only had enough money for one advertising campaign, so you really want to get it, you know, you want to milk the hell out of it. But that freaking Jack with that Philly cheesesteak commercial, that was the end for me, man.
Well, I'm a Philly cheesesteak.
He goes to his cousins in Philadelphia, and there's two of them that are the same version of him. They got the round head and the... Oh, man. He's just too... I understand the whole too cool for the room persona in advertising. I get it. Okay.
Well, if you take a caricature and you give them a suave and sophisticated personality...
No. I understand. I understand about taking a caricature, taking a puppet, taking a dog, taking a hand puppet, and giving them the characteristics and the features of a really sophisticated human with a smart-ass personality and sense of humor. I understand that. Not that it ain't been done before. In fact, it's probably now overdone, but it's like the caveman ads. It's like all of that stuff. Now comes the Jack in the Box, and not now that guy has... They've been doing that ad for God, how long?
I don't know.
You know, you ought to look that up, Robert.
No, find out about how long they have a Jack.
Well, not the Jack in the Box, because I'm old enough to remember, and this is probably... I know it dates me, but nonetheless, you can just consider me your own personal time machine. Because I remember when Jack in the Box was built here in California. I was in high school. And I remember it was a real big deal that they were a drive-thru. And if I'm not mistaken, they were the first national chain to have a drive-thru.
No, I don't think so. What about In-N-Out Burger?
In-N-Out's not a national chain.
Yeah, it is. They got them.
No, they're not.
In-N-Out not a national chain?
No, it's not a national chain. It's a Western. They got a couple in Arizona. They got one or two, I think, in Nevada.
Well, I don't think you really know because you were nervous. You were going, di-di-di-di.
Is that what I was doing, bud? How about I show you just how cool, calm, and collected I am by picking you up with one hand?
No, thank you.
And throwing you out of here?
No, thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, so Jack in the Box, they built these restaurants. And they had a drive-through, and the real novelty was the fact that you pulled up to a clown, or not a clown.
Well, it was a jack-in-the-box.
No, it had a clown head, though.
It had a clown head. What is a jack-in-the-box, you know what I mean?
Uh-uh.
A jack-in-the-box for a little kid?
Oh, yeah, the kind you crank up and come up through a hole in a box.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a jack-in-the-box.
Right, I know, but when it comes up, what do you think it looks like?
Comes up from what? What are you talking about? Are you talking about it being sick?
Being sick?
You said when it comes up, it's like it was kneeling at a toilet?
No, it was. I'm talking about the Jack in the Box.
Oh, all right.
I cannot. When a jack-in-the-box pops out of a box, what does it look like?
A jack-in-the-box. Oh, my God.
Yeah, what are you...
Does it look like a clown? Does anybody here in the studio, on this panel, as the people have been calling this...
Well, Phil, I use the term panel show.
Great. Do any one of you people have any idea when a jack-in-the-box comes out of the box, doesn't it look like a clown?
It looked like a jack-in-the-box to me. It may look like a clown on any given day. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
When you say it looks like a clown, there are... And I'm not trying to be difficult, Phil, but we can say on any given day you look like a clown.
Yeah, or I look like a clown.
Well, what's the matter with you?
What's the matter with me is either you're really stupid...
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Margaret, I am. I'm talking to you and to you and to you. Either you people are really stupid, or you're not listening to me. A jack-in-the-box has got the collar and the big nose and...
All right, Pinocchio. That's what you're going for, huh?
No, I'm not going for Pinocchio. I'm going for... All right, drop it. Never mind.
I think you should quit while you're ahead, yeah. What Pinocchio brings to mind a kid wearing an Italian Alps hat. I don't understand that.
No, it's not Pinocchio. In any event, the jack-in-the-box drive-up box, the thing that you ordered from and the thing you talked into, was actually the head of a jack-in-the-box...
Clown.
Yes. The one that doesn't look like a clown because you didn't know what I was talking about.
Well, now I do.
Now you do. All right, here is something sent to me by my close personal friend Dan Northcraft, who also is our engineer. Fast food maven, Jack Box, a brief history, an iconic fast food character. Jack is a former clown who used to take customer orders from his position atop the company's drive-thru speaker box. Thank you!
Well, what do you mean a clown? If it's a jack-in-the-box, it's a jack-in-the-box. If it's a clown, it's a clown. I know what a clown is, Phil. I've been married to one for...
Oh, you've been married to one?
Yes, I have, for a number of years.
He was blown up in a 1980 television commercial that marked the fast food chain's strategy to cater to adult tastes. I remember when they blew up the Jack. Since you can't keep a good clown down, in 1995, Jack was brought back not as a speaker box guardian, but in his current role. The Jack in the Box, the Jack in the Box states on its website, Jack is the fictional founder, CEO, and ad spokesman for Jack in the Box. 1995, man, that's 17 years, this jackass.
You should name a jackass in a box.
No.
Yeah, that's the call we think, Phil. We're going to do a restaurant.
No, jackass in a box doesn't work.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, do a restaurant as a computer. You know, you go to Jack in a Box, we go to jackass in a box.
I think that's pretty funny, man. What do you think, Phil?
I think it sucks. What do you think I just said?
Yeah, jackass in a box.
Great. So are you going to stand there and say, jackass in the box, what kind of food are you going to have?
Yeah, black hamburger and stuff.
Well, how are you going to make it better?
Don't you understand? It's called Jack in the Box and it's a jackass box?
Yeah, I get it, man. So what? After I get over the novelty of it being called jackass in the box, then what?
No, it's called jackass box.
Yeah, you call it jackass box.
Jackass box.
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of food?
Hamburger, and here, I'll do it, Robert.
What about,
no, let me do it. Hamburger, like chicken tender, and the ones, probably a lot of food that me and Robert like.
Yeah, I like a hamburger, fried, chicken tender,
like the ultimate cheeseburger.
You can't do that. That belongs to Jack in the Box.
What does?
Ultimate cheeseburger.
Well,
yeah, see, you got to think up the menu, man. Having the name of a restaurant don't mean diddly squat. You can have a great name, and the name you got blows every ground squirrel from here to Maine, okay?
Why?
Jack, what did you call it?
We call it Jackass Box.
Yeah, Jackass Box.
I don't know what's wrong with that. That's
I'm keeping out of this. Both of you need MRIs. You both need CAT scans. You really do.
What? You think I got a tumor in the brain on account of Jackass Box? I don't think so. It's probably one of the best ideas I've had.
If it's such a great idea, then why don't you have a menu worked up so that when I go to Jackass Box, I guarantee I'll go, okay? You guys, will you invite me?
Yeah, but I mean, I can't give you no freebie.
Oh, okay. Well, that's right. I'll pay for it. Wow.
What?
You can't even give me a freebie when your jackass box opens up. Well, whatever.
That sounds kind of sexual, Mr. Henry.
What does?
When you said my jackass box opens up, what are you trying to say?
Will you get out of here? Now I'm not going to the opening of Jackass Box. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have more news to come. Wow. More crazy ass news to come here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, including the internet is down in Syria. I don't know if that bothers you or not. It sure as hell doesn't bother me, but imagine that. What a bummer. No internet in Syria and no takeoffs or landings from the international airport. They are in a world of hurt over there, Jack. If you'll pardon the use of the term, Jack. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So just concluding this here.
Right there.
Yeah, I know. This is the Jack in the Box. Just so you know, my opinion of that ad campaign being beat into the ground and beyond recognition, no one else agrees with me.
I didn't think so. Look at this. They've won an award at Cannes. Now, do you know what that represents, Phil?
I know what the Cannes Film Festival is.
This is a... Let me see. This is the Cannes International Advertising Festival for the best fast food advertising in the world.
Margaret.
The world. So you can get your jollies and grab your cookies on your way out the door. That the Jack in the Box commercial.
Grab your cookies.
That the Jack in the Box commercial is beat into the ground and is no longer... what it once was, if you ever thought it was anything, did you?
No, I never did.
Well, boy, now you're doubly wrong, because you can see here with the Cannes International Advertising Festival, it's won Clio's. Do you know what that is?
Yes, the Clio is an advertising award.
All right.
What's that mean?
That's just the name of the advertising award. It's won a Belding, an Effie, and Bronze and Gold Lions. So I think before you... I think there's an old saying, Phil, you have to leap, you look, and then you leap. But you better look first.
Look before you leap.
Look before you leap.
What's that mean?
That's what the saying is, look before you leap.
All right, fine, if you want to. But you have to, before you jump, you've got to look down and make sure you know where you're jumping to.
Yeah, that's why they say look before you leap.
Well, I don't prefer to call it that.
Okay, well, we can spend a half an hour.
Not exactly a half hour. You see, well, I gotta look down, make sure I'm not jumping on something like on a spiked fence.
Yeah, like in The Omen when that guy jumped down and got spiked up the... Well,
like in The Omen when a guy jumped down. Look, all I know is, yes, you're right. I need to know what I'm... I don't care. I still have the same opinion. I don't like the campaign. It's an irritating campaign. It lost its humorous... Let me just say something. Advertising agencies, because they have to, and I don't have any disrespect here, folks. I think you know what I mean. Advertising agencies will tell you this. And I was told this when I was taking a mass media class in high school. In high school, we had to read The Hidden Persuaders, which was, at the time, a groundbreaking book on advertising. And there was a name that was mentioned a lot in my ute, Marshall McLuhan.
Oh, well, Marshall McLuhan's a genius. What do you mean?
I'm not saying anything bad about Marshall McLuhan was the guy who said that soon we will. He is the man who said we will become a global village. He's the man who coined the phrase, the medium is the message.
What's that mean?
I don't want to get into it right now. All I'm trying to say is that the average intelligence that advertisers aim at, they aim at what they consider to be the average intelligence level of the mass audience is 12 years old. That's the average. Now, that doesn't say a whole hell of a lot about the advertising business's opinion of people's intelligence, but that's precisely who they aim at. So they make the message a message that a 12-year-old mind could understand. And that generally means the attention span is short. You've got to put it there in big block letters, and you have to keep repeating it over and over and over and over again. You know, fly Delta. If you look at a billboard...
Well, Phil, you can't put a lot of verbiage on a billboard.
Yeah, we got put up on a billboard, hey, fly Delta on account of, you know, and everything and everything and everything.
There's, if you look at billboards, there's a lot of stuff that goes on a billboard. But the fact is, forget about billboards. Let's talk about just television. It's humorous. And if they show you anything in terms of writing on a television commercial, it'll say something simple like that. Fly Delta to Portland or fly Delta to New York. You know, bang, bang, easy, easy. And they repeat it over and over again. Jack in the Box, the same thing. Now, I'm not saying I'm more intelligent than most people.
Well, yes, you are, because you're saying, oh, I'm so sick of this. So why don't we pull it off the air because the average person bores me?
No, I didn't say that at all. I'm telling you right now that the average person's probably sick of Jack. How do you feel about that, Jack?
Probably piss off Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care if I piss off Jack. Okay.
Yeah, he's 6'8". Give me a break.
He's not real, bud.
I know he's not real, but did you see the stats on the guy? He's 6'8".
Yeah, did you see the stats? He's 6'8".
So he's 6'8". So what?
It means that you need to be careful, I think.
In what you're saying.
He's not real. He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist.
I know that, but I'm just saying in case.
In case what? Some cat with a big head and a pointed nose exists?
Boy, you look like the Jack Ball if he does.
I'll just tell you this right now, okay? The 12-year-old mind that the advertising agencies and the advertising industry aims at, they say, is going to be able to tolerate Jack 17 years this guy's been on television. I can't, every time I see this clown, and that's what he is. And you know what? I don't eat at Jack in the Box. I don't eat at Jack in the Box. Every now and again...
Oh, yeah, every now and again. Didn't you say you stopped off there the other night?
What do you mean the other night? I've been on a diet.
Well, when was it?
Probably a year ago I stopped off there for somebody else, thank you very much, not me.
Oh. Man, Mr. You're out of breath.
Sometimes arguing with you guys, I'm telling you, it's too much. 877-876-7445. So online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. That's our website. Get a backstage pass. We're at twitter.com/realphilhenry. And we're also at Facebook. Our fan page is facebook.com/philhenryfans. If you go over there and like our Facebook page, why, it's just a beautiful thing. And we have our Flashback Thursdays, and we have our... what else are we having over there, bud?
Got Flashback Thursday and a quote of the day.
And the quote of the day and the Phil facts, yeah. All right, we'll be right back with our final hours. We try to get into some of this falderall around Syria not having any internet and not having any takeoffs of their international flights. And just essentially the whole thing just sucks. We'll talk about the Lindsay Lohan arrest, which I think we probably should either talk about or shut up about. She did get arrested, and we'll find out what that's all about and other news when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Shores El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back, and I want to thank and again, I said any of my BSPs who are watching. If you guys had posted on the comment wall, forgive me, I haven't looked at that yet. I was looking at our Facebook fan page, and Caroline Elizabeth Johnson.
She had the name of the movie.
She had the name of the movie Unfaithful with Diane Lane.
What one's that?
This is the one where Olivier Martinez, the guy.
Yeah, what about him?
Are you guys listening to me, man? What do I got to bring you guys up to speed on everything for?
That's the guy that beat up the guy.
Yes, that's the actor, okay, that played in this movie that I'm trying to freaking tell you about.
Oh, that was a wonderful film. I know the one you're talking about. It was outstanding. Some of the best acting I've ever seen Diane Lane do. And God knows, you know, I love Diane Lane, but she has really, and I say this with the greatest of love and kindness, Diane Lane has stunk it up. I mean, she has left us. Do you know what I mean, Phil? She's left a stench in the theater. And
no, I don't. No, I don't know what you mean. No, I don't.
What are you talking about?
Never mind, bud. No, I don't.
No, I don't know what you... You don't know what I mean. What, are you trying to kiss up now?
No, I don't know what you mean about Diane Lane. Every time I've seen her in something, I've loved it thoroughly. I think she's a hell of an actress. She was in that Secretariat.
Oh, for God's sake.
I thought that was a good movie. She played the lady that owned the great Secretariat, the three-year-old that won the Triple Crown in 1973 with young Steve... God, who was on board Secretariat? Ron Turcotte. Anyway, Diane Lane in this movie, Unfaithful, she plays the wife of Richard Gere, and she has an affair with this young man that she just meets one day on the street. I don't know how they met, but it was a very chance thing. And she winds up having this affair with the guy that's, I mean, the acting is so brilliant because this is how you would imagine, you know, an older woman and a younger guy to hook up. And, I mean, they're having sex in the bathroom.
Wait, this is how you imagine, you just said it, they're having sex in a public toilet. God!
Well, come on, not in an outhouse. They're very passionate for each other. And,
well, I'll say they are, but having sex in a public latrine, good God.
Margaret, why don't you get off your high horse and let Phil say it?
Yeah.
Fine, I'll go to the toilet.
Yeah, make sure there isn't a young man in there that's going to want to have... Ow! Ow! You filthy...
Don't hit him. He's absolutely right.
Absolutely right about what?
If you're going into the bathroom, make sure Olivier Martinez isn't hiding in there.
All of you can... You know what? Why don't you lick them?
Ooh!
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't want to get rabies. Ow!
I didn't hit you at all.
God, what a maniac, man. I mean, look at Margaret. You got to be able to take a joke here, especially when you are so far in the wrong on this thing.
I'm leaving the bathroom door open in case you say anything substantial.
Yeah. Fact is... It's really well acted, and they are, you know, they're all over each other like,
stink on crap.
Well, I wouldn't use stink on crap as the, but the point is, it's very well done. Now, then that night she's riding home on the train after she's been in this guy's apartment all day. Now that she's married, you know, she's got a husband. Richard Gere plays the husband. Richard Gere used to play the part that Olivier Martinez is playing when he was younger, but now he's the husband, and Diane Lane is, if you've seen her, she's a very beautiful woman on top of being a great actress, and she's coming home on the train, and she's reliving this experience of being with this guy. And you can tell she really enjoyed it. So anyway, make a long story short, if you don't want to know the ending or the plot of this movie, then you better stop listening, because seriously, I'm about to go into some of the detail here, because it's that good of a movie. What happens is, the husband finds out. And I won't go into any details here, but the wife, after she finds out what the husband did to the lover, she goes through a series of emotions that only the screenwriter that wrote this must have lived through this, because everything resonates as true. It resonates as absolutely true. She goes through these emotions of first, she's angry at what the husband did to the lover. Then she begins to sort of understand. The husband says to her, because he realizes after he's done what he's done, he realizes, my God, I can't, you know, I've got to turn myself in. He walks to her at one point in the film. She's sitting in front of a fire in their home, in front of the fireplace. He says to her, I'm going to go and turn myself into the police. And she turns and she looks at him and she says, no, don't. Don't. Because she knows that really he's absolutely in the clear. The police haven't got a clue. They've been around, they've asked questions, but they really don't have a clue as to who did this. Because this young man that she was involved with, he lives in a completely other section of town. It is traversed and is frequented and is inhabited by all kinds of denizens of the alternate world of society, you know, the underworld and so forth. So and nobody has made the connection between her and him. And so he's as clean as the proverbial baby's ass, you know.
Do they ever try to get away with it?
Well, but I'll tell you, it's a significant moment in the movie when he looks at her and he says, because they're having a hard time. They're walking around each other. They're not dealing with this thing. He did this terrible thing. She's looking at him She's shocked, but she's beginning to sort of understand, and she's beginning to feel sorry, and even she recognizes the love she had for this husband, this man that for so long was dormant, and now the act of that he committed, somehow she understands.
Even though she's the one that caused it?
Yes, she's the one that caused it, or she's the one that inspired his anger. Her actions did. She now suddenly sees him as a husband who was outraged, and I don't know. She's sad that this man that she had this love affair with is dead. But so he fights the husband after these days of tension, and they don't know, and they're depressed. The whole house is depressed. You know, you can well imagine, right? He finally just says, "I'm going to go to the police. I'm going to turn myself in. That's the only thing to do." And when he says that, you're thinking, you know what, pal? That's probably what you ought to do, because otherwise, it's just, and she looks at him, she says, don't do it. Don't do it. We're going to get through this. She says to him, we'll get through it. Don't do it. Now, I will not tell you the rest of the movie.
Oh, come on, man. You, yeah, Mr. Henry, you said you would. Yeah.
I'm not, no, I did not. I said, if you don't want to know, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the movie.
That's dirty pool.
Well, I commend you, Phil, for not going to the bitter end on this thing, because you've told quite a bit.
Now you can just go and see it, okay?
I'm not going to go see a movie about a lady had sex in a toilet. I mean, unless, is there nudity? Or not nudity, I'm sorry.
Bud, quit trying to be funny like that guy on MASH, okay?
Yeah, you got that from MASH.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You got nudity from that guy Radar.
You did?
Yeah, okay, the one time, but now I forget.
What do you mean, now you forget? Nudity.
Yeah. Is there nudity?
I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not going to go watch the sex of in a toilet.
The hell you wouldn't, man. You'd be there in a heartbeat if it wasn't some movie I was telling you about that has all these artistic overtones.
I mean, God, you all got gay there.
Yeah, you're waving your hand around.
It looked a little... It's all right.
What did I do?
Well, you went... Ooh.
Yeah, you went like this. All right. Ooh. Ooh.
Shut up, bud.
Ooh.
You remember the guy's face? You remember the guy's face?
Which guy?
That guy that got the face with the black eye. You remember that?
Yeah.
You want that?
No.
If I hear that ooh-hoo one more time.
What if I go across the street and do it?
I'll chase your ass down and I'll give you a black eye. I'm sorry I have to threaten you like that, bud. All right, so anyway, that's that movie. And now let's get back to the real world of Egypt and Syria. And I don't give a sweet... Lindsay Lohan, that's what I want to read about. Coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com. It's philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
All right, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You got a Screen Actors Guild card.
I know I got a... What is with you, man? You know, if you open your yap one more time, I'm going to belt you, I swear to God.
I just said that you...
Why are you bringing that up?
Did you can get into movies free.
No, I cannot get into movies free. No, I can't, bud. I can get into some movies free, and I'm not going to talk about that, okay? So just get out of here.
All right. Well, I mean, now people think you're hiding something.
I have a Screen Actors Guild card because I have to belong to the union in order to work on certain projects. And with a Screen Actors Guild card, there's a certain time of the year, especially when they're voting on the Academy Awards, which I don't vote on. I don't have any voting rights whatsoever. But there's a blanket thing where if you have a Screen Actors Guild card, you get into certain movies for free. I don't know, to be honest with you, which ones.
Well, what do you mean you don't know?
It's a time of the year. I think it's more of a time limit thing. It's for like 1 month. You're allowed into some movies. But I've gone up to a box office at a movie theater and said, hi, I'm a SAG member, and I pull my card out, and they go, oh, you know what, it's not good for this movie.
Which movie was that?
Yeah, well, I bet you it's probably something like the Team America or the one with the one with Ted.
Yeah, I'm glad you spit that out, bud. I don't know, man. I don't know. I never tried it. All right. Anyway, welcome back to the show.
Well, I'm surprised that you don't want to talk more about that.
I don't want to talk about it, okay? I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about how many times have I got to keep talking about Lindsay Lohan, keep bringing it up and not getting to it? She got busted. Don't you want to hear about this?
Oh, who cares?
Well, I do. Not that I care all that much. She got busted, and who knows, man, but here it is. She was, Santa Monica police say they found evidence the actress lied when she said she was not behind the wheel of a Porsche that collided with a dump truck. Lindsay Lohan was charged on Thursday with three misdemeanors for allegedly lying to Santa Monica police in connection with a June traffic accident on Pacific Palisades. This was in June?
Apparently.
The charges came hours after the actress was arrested in New York on suspicion of third-degree assault, a misdemeanor, after she allegedly punched a woman in the face at Club Avenue in Manhattan's fashionable meatpacking district. Fashionable meatpacking district?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, fashionable meatpacking district?
It's very fashionable to be down where they're packing meat.
Don't you get it?
Don't give me this, don't I get it. Okay?
No, I mean, that's got to be it.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with sex.
Well, why would they say that then?
It's where they pack meat.
Yeah, that. I don't want to be dirty or anything.
Well, meat packing meaning packing meat into cans, packing meat into packages. Meat packing!
Yeah, but you couldn't. All I'm saying is you'd take it a different way.
That's, you would, bud, because you're a nut, because you've got a mental problem. You would, yeah. This is Meatpacking District of New York, as in packing meat for sale. The kind of meat that you eat, bud, which is hamburgers and steaks and ribs and sometimes,
Yeah, you're gonna make it sound gay.
No, I'm not.
Sausage.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with sausage. All right. So the Meatpacking District, what?
Mr. Hall.
Oh, would you give me a break, David? What do you want now?
What do you mean, what do I want now? You're talking about packing meat, aren't you?
I'm talking about the Meatpacking District of New York.
Why?
Because that's where Lindsay Lohan got arrested.
Yeah, I'll bet she did. Now, let me tell you something, Phil. There's a lot of stations that...
No, you're not going to get away with this one, man. You're not going to get away with this one. You're not going to put the bug in somebody's head, some radio station, some program director, that I'm talking about things that I shouldn't be talking about.
Margaret, what do you think?
Well, David, now that you're on the phone, yeah, it is a little dicey.
What's dicey about it?
You're talking about Lindsay Lohan. She got arrested. Boy, you know what, Phil? There are days she got arrested back in me.
What?
She got a... Margaret, would you tell him?
I'd be happy to. Phil, listen. David, can you, by the way, close the door to that phone booth or whatever you're in?
I'm on a cell phone booth. I'm on a cell phone.
Well, roll up the window or something, please.
Sorry. Hold on for a minute. Joe, you gonna park the car? Okay, go ahead.
Phil, Lindsay Lohan was arrested in the meatpacking...
I know.
Hold on. Because it's fun, she's packing me.
What?
Do you want me to shout it to the highest rooftops?
You're on a radio show. There's people all over the country and possibly the world on the internet listening to what we're saying right now. There's no possible way that you can whisper it.
I am a lady.
Come on, Phil. Give the woman some respect.
Lindsay Lohan got arrested in New York because of an assault.
That's what they're saying. But it's possible that she was also packing me.
She did say, Phil, that Lindsay Lohan was down there, and she might have been through me.
What?
She might have been down there. She's in the meatpacking district.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, she might have been in the meatpacking district packing a little meat.
All right, you know what, David? Goodbye.
Now, wait a second, Phil. Don't get tough with me.
Margaret, unless you say to me what it is you're saying, I'm going to get really cross with you, and I'll probably boot you out of here for the night.
Packing meat.
Are you talking about prostitution?
Duh.
So you're the entertainment writer here. You're the one that has
Better spit it out, Mr. Andrew. You're going to start talking about meat pack.
Yeah.
Who's talking to you?
No one.
So you're the entertainment writer, and you're talking about your relationships with the entertainment business, and you have basically come out here now and said that Lindsay Lohan might have been popped in New York for prostitution based upon the fact that she was in the meatpacking district.
Yes, and I say that with a very heavy heart. Are you going to allow me to finish?
Go ahead.
Thank you. After you forced me to indict myself in ways I did not want to, you threatened me with physical violence.
No, I did not. I said I would throw you out of here.
Well, how do you think you're going to throw me out, big boy?
Well, if you want to make a big thing out of it.
So you forced me to say something I didn't want to say. You forced me into indicting Lindsay Lohan. What are you going to say if the woman was hanging around a district known for packing meat?
We're talking about meat that you put into a...
I know that. There's that interpretation.
So in other words, she's drawn to the area because of its meatpacking, and she's going to be done. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to put you in the same classification with him.
Oh my God. So you think I've got some... So you think I'm missing a part of my brain?
What?
Never mind. Lindsay Lohan was charged Thursday with three misdemeanors for allegedly lying to Santa Monica police in connection with the June accident on PCH. That was in June. And on Thursday, the Santa Monica Police Department, or the DA, issued a summons to Ms. Lohan for lying to police. That was yesterday. So we're talking about something that took place back in June.
Right, yeah, and they charged her yesterday. I didn't know if they arrested her.
Okay. The charges came hours after the actress was arrested in New York on suspicion of third-degree assault. So she's in custody in New York, I guess, or she's been sprung by now. A misdemeanor, third-degree assault after she allegedly punched a woman in the face at Club Avenue in Manhattan's fashionable meatpacking district. Now, punching somebody in the face, if you call that a misdemeanor, then I don't think that's what happened. I think that was some reporters, that was some reporter for the L.A. Times putting their spin on it based upon what they heard from their sources. The New York City police charged her with third-degree assault. If you punch somebody, you try to tell me that's third-degree assault?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I'm not a cop, but I would be very loath if I were you to interpret what the New York City police deem as a third-degree assault as opposed to first-degree or what have you. But you keep skipping over it. You're skipping over it as if you're a third grader, a little girl in pigtails, skipping over the hopscotch, the fact that she was packing... I don't know what to say.
Packing meat, huh?
Yes. And I...
877, boy, I'll tell you. 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. Lou, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry. We have a caller up there, bud?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Lou, you're on the Phil Henry Show, sir. What's going on?
Hey, I wanted to ask the lady about the comment on meatpacking. Why do you think that means that the woman was engaged in prostitution?
Because I think that when you talk about meatpacking, you're using a number of you're using it, the language, especially if you're a reporter or if you are a press agent, you're using the language to disguise.
Right. But that meatpacking, Mr. Henry had said, that is an area of the city. They're packing meat. That doesn't mean that you're involved in meatpack. If you are a private citizen, Mr. Henry.
Right, you're not going to be down there helping them pack meat.
I didn't say that they were. No, I wasn't saying that.
So you're referring to something entirely different.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard her, Lou. She said prostitution.
I thought she said that Ms. Lohan went down and forced her way into the warehouse and began helping them pack meat, which I understand can't be a misdemeanor.
No, I don't think she went down there and forced her way in and helped them pack.
I see.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-74. What is the number?
Yeah, say it again. I don't know if you got it right.
877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's it, but I don't know what Phil, what numbers?
877-876-7445. All right, anyway, just to follow up a little bit more on the Lohan story, she's a victim despite criminal charges, says her lawyer. So this is the second half of this. Lindsay Lohan have faced charges both in New York and Santa Monica this week as an innocent victim, one of her attorneys said. Lohan was charged Thursday with three misdemeanors for allegedly lying to Santa Monica police in connection with the June traffic accident. The charges came hours after the Mean Girls and the Parent Trap actress was arrested in New York on suspicion of third-degree assault, a misdemeanor. She allegedly punched some bitch.
That's not very objective of you.
Well, I mean, Dan and I were just talking. I bet you I got money that says she's leaving the club and some loudmouth broad. Oh, you Lindsay Lohan? Anyway, she allegedly punched a woman in the face at the Club Avenue in Manhattan's fashionable meatpacking district, okay?
Yeah, I'll tell you, man.
That's probably what's gotten her in most of the trouble.
Yeah, I get it. Now then, once again, Lindsay Lohan is a victim of someone trying to capture their 15 minutes of fame. Her New York attorney, Mark Heller, said in a statement obtained by the Associated Press, "From my initial investigation, I'm completely confident this case will be concluded favorably and that Lindsay will be totally exonerated." Santa Monica prosecutors weighed charges against Lohan. See, they're confusing a couple of things. Her New York attorney's talking about the assault.
How do you know he's not talking about Santa Monica?
Well, what's with the New York attorney talking about Santa Monica? She's got a New York lawyer. I'm going to make a big, big leap and say that he's talking about New York. But this story, they don't care. So they got Santa Monica and New York all jammed together. But the thing of it is, the New York thing, which is what Mr. Northcraft was just remarking on, and I agree with him, she was probably leaving the club or whatever she was doing, and some big fat mouth on somebody in the club said, "You're Lindsay Lohan, blah, 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 blah." And naturally, there's not a person listening to me right now that can contain themselves from being enraged and throwing a punch if the right things are said to you. Believe me. You know it, and I know it. I'm the same way. Now, imagine if you're a celebrity and this is happening. Now, the alternative, of course, is if you're Lindsay Lohan and you got a drinking problem, which I believe she's got, because I'm sorry, nobody can be this much in trouble with the law morning, noon, and night and not have a freaking substance abuse problem. Good idea for you to just stay out of these situations, ma'am, and just, you know, pursue your craft and not be up to your ass and all of these clowns that are going to be bugging you morning, noon, and night. Santa Monica prosecutors weighed charges for weeks after police said they found evidence that she lied that she was not behind the wheel of a Porsche that collided with a dump truck. Santa Monica police sergeant told the L.A. Times early this month that the department's investigation determined Lohan was driving the Porsche, contradicting statements the actress made to law enforcement officers after the crash. She was charged Thursday with obstructing an investigation, giving false information to an officer, and reckless driving. The charges related to the Santa Monica case, or as you would say, Margaret, what?
Santa Monica? What is that, a joke or something?
Yeah, that sounds weird, though.
That is an alternative and very much French form. Oh, I get it. So you're making a joke.
Well, look, somebody made a comment on the Facebook fan page today about that.
Oh, the Facebook fan page. Well, I'll tell you, Phil, when I want to scale the heights of intellect and find out exactly where I stand among the real brains, I'll go to your Facebook fan page.
Well, why talk that way, okay? Someone was making a joke about it.
Making a joke about it over on the Facebook fan page. You know, Facebook, as we all know, is the capital of great minds in America and the world. Some of the most brilliant.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding.
Well, you're the one that said Santa Monica, didn't you?
I said Santa Monica because that happens to be one of the French pronunciations. Santa Monica is another.
What is it?
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Don't give me that snarled look on your face, Phil.
What snarled look? I said, when you say Santa Monica, or you say Santa Monica, I'm not doing anything.
You've got a look on your face as if someone let some gas go that is...
Well,
that's what?
You have a look on your face as if someone didn't close the door in the bathroom.
Well, look at Margaret. I'm sorry if it looks that disgusted. I'm not disgusted. Is that what you're trying to describe?
No, it's worse than disgust. It's as if you got a nose full. Remember the time that...
What are you saying?
Never mind.
Remember the time that what?
Do you remember the time that your producer had gone into the ladies' bathroom over at the other network And a very prominent talk show host had been in that bathroom.
Rush Limbaugh?
The ladies, but God, you are an idiot.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there.
What? I scooped that story.
I don't care if you scooped anything. Stop right there. I don't need to hear any more, and if you, and I'm telling you, I'll dump it. Do you understand?
She went into the...
Okay, we dumped. Thank you very much.
You dumped that.
Yes. How dare you try and get that name out of the air? I could get sued.
No, you can't, because it's true.
I don't care if it's true or not, according to you, Margaret. I could still get sued. Some people may think it's not true. Some people may claim that it isn't true.
Well, you have the testimony of what's her name?
Don't mention her name either. Really? So I've got to fly her into Los Angeles and have her be deposed? She's going to sit there and be deposed by all the attorneys. Did you walk into the ladies' bathroom and smell a stink that would have risen the dead? Yes.
What's wrong with that?
That's what our country's all about, is the legal, is the freedom to...
Yeah, what's our country about?
To be able to report on that.
Report on what, bud? Going into a can and somebody just went to the bathroom and it stinks in there?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, and if you have to fly the producer into town, you can always charge it off on the... Don't they pick up attorney's expenses?
What is the deposition going to sound like?
You just said it. Were you on the... Why are you pressing this, Phil?
I want to know what you think a deposition's going to sound like that I got to pay for in defending myself when I get sued. What's the deposition going to sound like?
They would say, did you or did you not, on the day of whatever, walk into the women's restroom at so-and-so address, and did it not at that time stink like...
Like a dead man?
Not like a dead man, but stink like someone had ingested scrambled eggs and broccoli. And then...
Yeah, and then evacuated it.
Yes. What are you looking at? You're looking at me as if I'm crazy.
You're not crazy. You just, you know what? You got a completely improper view of life. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have anybody. So therefore, I'm going to save myself the trouble and not say it on the air. All right? Did you on the date of such and such walk into the lady's head and it stunk like broccoli and scrambled eggs?
Yes. And then the woman says, I did indeed, Your Honor. Case dismissed.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
If he has a gavel, they gavel, don't they gavel it? What do they call gaveling it?
Yeah, that's the time when they gavel it.
They'll gavel it. You know, Phil, you can laugh all you want.
You know what? You're a nut. You're absolutely absurd. It isn't going to happen, so we're not going to bring it up. And I don't give a damn what kind of a reporter you think you are. They gavel it.
They would table it.
Yeah, they table it because you proved the point that it stunk it out. And so they table it.
Table it to when, man?
What do you mean?
That's what table it means. It means we will hold it over. It means we'll do it some other day.
Yeah, they'll do it another day. They don't want to talk about it now because it's embarrassing.
Oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about.
You always do that when you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar. You always say, oh, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do, Miss Henry.
Wait a minute, wait. I just want to be clear here. How did I get caught with my hand in the cookie jar?
But you said that the judge won't gavel it.
They gavel it over.
You know, you don't even know what you're talking about, gavel it over. What are you talking about?
I mean, they dismiss the case.
Then that's not tabling it or gaveling it over. That's dismissing the case. And if you think for 1 minute that I go on the air and I publicly name very prominent people and then I attribute to them some act of impropriety and just public rudeness or however you want to call it, that defames them, quite honestly, and then I get into a deposition situation, and the person who claims to have, quote, smelt it, suddenly says, yes, sir, and you think that honest answer is going to have the judge dismiss the case?
Well, I would think so. If I said to you, Phil, did you walk into the man's can and Bud Dickman stunk like a sewer, and you said yes, then case dismissed.
What, is Bud suing me?
No, I wouldn't sue you.
Well, let's pretend like you did.
No, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. Thank you very much.
What an ass.
You can call me any name you want. I'm not talking about it anymore. We're done. Thank you. We've wasted enough time with this childish bullcrap. All right, folks, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. They'd gavel it over.
They probably would, though, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not thinking about it. So that's kind of, that's where I've got one over on you guys. I'm not thinking about it. I don't give a sweet you-know-what. All right, anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show after that nut story. Unbelievable. Now, here's a story that's going to warm your hearts, folks. It's got nothing to do with the imbecility we were just talking about. This is a beautiful story, and it has gone viral. It's all over the world, and God bless Officer Lawrence DePrimo. He is a resident of Long Island. He is a member of the New York City Police Department, 6th Precinct, and he has become an internet sensation overnight when someone took a picture of him giving boots to a homeless man. That's right. He bought this homeless guy socks. He bought him boots, and he gave them to the homeless guy because it was freezing temperatures in New York City the other night. And quite frankly, he's a little taken aback by all the attention that he's getting, but he does indeed deserve it. He did a nice thing, and it turned into a feel-good story just in time for the holidays. It was a great story. The suggestion that the homeless man in the photo either sold the boots or otherwise got rid of them dishonestly was one of these stupid internet rumors. But the Times found that the New York Times found commenters on the New York Police Department Facebook page who said they'd seen the guy after the November 14th gift again shoeless. Well, even if the guy did sell the shoes or stash them somewhere or whatever, and the evidence he did so basically consists of a few cranky people on the internet, so it's probably not even true. It doesn't make DePrimo's action any less generous, and it doesn't make it any less of a good example. We'd much rather live in a world where people are inclined to do nice things for strangers than in one where everybody's a jerk because they're afraid of getting scammed. So says the New York Times. I agree. Great comment. And way to do it there, Officer DePrimo. And you know what? I like to think, and I believe, because I'm a longtime supporter of the police in my life and on this radio show, I like to think that's the way a lot of cops all over this country think and act, and they don't get a picture taken of them when they're doing things like that. They just do these things. All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
No, I'm not kidding. I just read it from the thing.
Oh. I thought it was a joke.
No, it's not.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Talk about Phil the Thrill.
I am going to talk about Phil the Thrill. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, we were just talking about Officer Lawrence DePrimo, the NYPD, and Officer DePrimo, you know, ever since I was a kid, I'm going to say something really corny. It's really corny, but it's true. My heroes have always been the regular run-of-the-mill heroes. Cops, soldiers, heroic people, wherever they are. Every time I read of a heroic act, somebody saving someone, someone giving their life for someone, these are the people that I can't really get much more sophisticated than that. I mean, there's a lot of people say, my hero is so-and-so, you know, some famous people. And yeah, I have famous people, Winston Churchill, Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, Martin Luther King. And these are people to me that, you know, defied, I mean, they faced down death. You know, they faced down death, man. They went out of their way to try to save. But I digress. I've always been a big fan of the good guys. I always wanted to be a good guy. It's corny. I understand that. I don't get it. I didn't grow up in a stable home. I didn't grow up in a home that was peaceful. I grew up in a home that had terrible conflict in it and sometimes, you know, violent emotions. And my father left when I was 12, and it wasn't exactly a place where, you know, probably I spent a good part of my life looking for father figures, but they were always, they had to be heroic or good people, you know. So cops, I've always admired. And there's a guy on Twitter that I follow because I got to know this guy's tweets because I noticed that he was following me early on. And I think it's because there's always been a lot of cops that follow listen to my radio show. And the guy's name is Phil the Thrill. He's an LAPD cop, the S word. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that he gets into. Sorry, Dan had to dump me. I actually popped out with the S word there. He tweets about some of it's really funny, too. He'll say, just picked up a drunk off the sidewalk. He took a swing on me. You're welcome, sir. Things like that. Or the funniest, one of the funny ones lately was, had to break up a domestic disturbance. The lady got into the back seat of my car and said, take me to the nearest hotel. And then he hashtagged it, tactical concierge. So he's got these funny, I don't know, tweets. And then the most poignant of Phil the Thrill's tweets, though, are after he gets off the job, he's at home and he'll be tweeting, I just wrote some poetry. I just wrote a piece of prose. He'll post it and people give their opinion. He's cracking into another bottle of wine. And you see him off duty, too, you know. Now, lately...
You said the guy's in love now.
Yeah, lately he's been tweeting some stuff about some chick.
Now, who is she? Because now you have me emotionally invested in him. I hope he's not...
I don't know. I don't know who she is. But I have a feeling it may be somebody that he met on Twitter because he... You can tell he really loves this chick, or he's really smitten because he says, you know, he'll write these poetic things about her being in a different city.
Oh, God. Phil, if you're listening, does he listen to you?
On occasion, I think.
Phil, if you be careful with the ones that are out of town, because the long distance, ask your friend Mr. Hendry here. He has had his butt burned more...
All right, Margaret, you don't have to give my whole life story.
Yeah, you're giving out the Thrill story.
Yeah.
The Thrill? All of a sudden, that's who he is to you, huh?
Might as well just, instead of Phil the Thrill, just say the Thrill.
Okay, the Thrill. Anyway, keep a close eye on it, man. But, yeah, I think he's in love with this girl. Because he's been tweeting a lot about her lately. But then he gets back on the job, and he's got these great tweets about just unbelievable stuff, incredible stuff. A lot of fights, but there's a homicide every now and again, a horrible domestic scene. You know, it's occasionally he'll say things like, why do I do this job? You know, it's just like, you know, he's not going to quit, but it's just sometimes he wonders. And I even said to him one time, I actually tweeted at him. He said that he was getting ready to split.
What do you mean?
He was going to leave town. He was going to go and work for the Austin PD. And he took the test and he took the physical, I think. And he might even, I don't know.
Maybe he didn't want to go anymore.
Maybe. But he's still in L.A.
Well, but he wanted to go to Austin.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand. There's a lot of very lovely Texas girls down there, Phil. And Kathy Valentine of the Go-Go's. And I think you can do work.
Don't start giving him advice.
Well, I'm just saying...
Yeah, so in any event, but Phil didn't go to Austin. He's still in L.A., and it's cool because we can still tweet at him. But anyway, that's my cop story for the night. And that was the homeless guy. So, you know, the Internet is the Internet. There's always some sourpuss, someone whose life just sucks, and they don't want things to be... But one of the things that's happening on the Internet, I think, is people are getting a little bit smarter in dealing with a lot of these trolls and these idiots. But that was what happened in New York. Some people said, yeah, I saw the guy with a homeless guy and his shoes were gone.
What, he say it like that?
Say it like what?
I saw the guy.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that was the attitude that was proffered there online. All right, speaking of Facebook, we're at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. You can go over and like us and say hello if you want. It's always nice. We've got some nice things coming up for our Facebook fans. We also are on Twitter at Phil Hendry Show. It's called twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Real Phil Hendry is where we are on Twitter, and you can give us a follow and give us a shout, and we're always appreciative of that. You can join us online at philhendryshow.com with our video cast with a backstage pass. Also, I'm in the comments section frequently talking to the BSPs, and occasionally we throw some questions out there for other BSPs. If you want to be a backstage pass member, get a VIP pass. You will have access to the last over a decade of the Phil Hendry Show, and also a 5-day video archive, and also a full year of video archives from our Saturday night KFI Los Angeles show that we did for a year. Almost a year and a half, actually. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft. And we are online at philhendryshow.com. And we'll see you guys tonight. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to to you. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Phil Hendry.